Good morning to each of you. It's good to be with you this morning. Beautiful Sunday morning. And happy Mother's Day to everybody here, not just the mothers. Jim greeted me this morning by saying happy Mother's Day. And this took me aback a little bit, but happy Mother's Day. And everybody should know that it is Mother's Day. So Mother's Day, a day that we have set aside to honor the mothers and remember our mothers. Some of us here are mothers, and it is an incredible opportunity and responsibility and a joy to be a mother. It's also a challenge. It's not always easy. Many sacrifices that mothers make, oftentimes unnoticed, and it's so easy to forget everything that goes on and all that the mothers have to take care of. Mothers do a lot of that. So I just want to briefly acknowledge that mothers are very important in the family. So I just want to take this time to thank each mother here for everything that you do. The role of mothers is very crucial in the world. And, you know, it's interesting. We have Mother's Day and we have Father's Day. We don't have Parents' Day. And just shows that there's a difference there in the roles. And I heard somebody say it this way. They said there's no such thing as parenting. There's fathering and there's mothering. And again, that's pointing that same thing, the different roles of mothers and fathers. So today is a day to honor mothers and acknowledge the high calling that they have, just to recognize that. So for a text, this morning, I'd like to read from 2 John, so you can turn with me to 2 John. I'd like to read through this passage with the lens of mothers and Mother's Day, and the role that mothers have. And what drew me to this passage is the fact that it is addressed to the elect lady and her children. And later on in the letter, he comments that he finds great joy that her children are walking in truth. And I take that to mean that this elect lady was doing a good job raising her children. It was a compliment to her mothering. And I think of what Paul says to Timothy, how the faith that he saw in Timothy was also in his mother and his grandmother. And we see that is passed down through people, through generations. I think we can see that here as well. And it just speaks to the vital role that mothers have in passing on the faith. And it really is a high calling. So as we read through this passage of 2 John, let's think about the question, what is being passed on to my children? Am I passing on truth? So I'd like to read 2 John here with that lens in our minds. Then I'll read through the whole letter here. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. So this book of 2 John is one of the shortest in the Bible. I think 2 and 3 John are really close, the shortest in the Bible. And so there's not a lot here. And if I had to summarize, just reading through that, I see an exhortation to remain in the truth. And as we look at this passage, I don't have an outline. I just want to go through verse by verse and just highlight a few points that I see looking through this letter that relate to that theme of truth and how that applies to the role of mothers as well. So I'd like to think first about the greeting that he gives. He addresses the elect lady and her children. Now, I don't know who this elect lady was, and some people think that rather than an individual, it was just a personification of a church, referring to a local church somewhere, and the children would have been members of that church. So I don't know exactly, I don't think there's a way to know for sure who it was and who it's referring to, but I think either way, the message is still the same, and it doesn't change what we can learn from it. And I realized that this morning I am speaking to many elect ladies, and many of you have children as well, so it seemed fitting for a Mother's Day sermon to look at this. I'd like to look at this with the lens of mothers, and those of us who are not mothers, you can still stay tuned. I think there is something for all of us here in this passage. But the first theme that he brings out, the first emphasis, is that of truth. And we see this in the first two verses. And I think this sets the tone for the rest of the letter. He says, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwells in us. So it was the truth that created this common bond between them and also many others as well. It was a common love for truth. And I think that's true in a church where we have many individuals and families joined together with a common desire for truth, desire to uphold truth. And I think it's also true in the family, that truth is what a godly home should be centered around. And for mothers, as you seek what is best for your children, the many decisions that you need to make, we look to the truth as our guide. And the context here is talking about God's word as truth. God's word is our guide. It's a call for our lives to be just saturated with the truth of God's word. And I think this opening sets the tone for the rest of the letter, just a tone of looking to truth and maintaining that and passing it on as well. Verse 3, he continues the greeting, typical greeting for letters that we see in the Bible. And then verse 4, he mentions the great joy that he has because of this elect lady's children walking in truth. And this truth, the truth that was the common bond between them, was being passed on. And he could observe that. He said, I can see that. It's being passed on, and it brought him great joy. And you think about somebody who has invested in the lives of people, time and energy, to see the things that you are working at to be passed on and to see that lived out. It brings great joy. And I'm guessing John was in that position of having invested in that family, those people. And as I read these verses, the question came to my mind, what is it that excites me? What brings me great joy? Is it the things that I do and the things that I have? Is that what I find joy in? Or is it from people? And watching people that I've invested in carry on. What brings me joy in life? And I think the greatest joy in life is, like John says, it comes from seeing people that we have invested in carry on in faithfulness. And of all the people that we invest time and energy into, I think our children are at the top of the list. It's just an encouragement for each mother to be faithful in guiding our children according to truth. And that takes a patient continuance and endurance. It's not always easy. We don't always see the quick results that we would like to see. My wife grew up without any close siblings in age. The closest one was 10 years, and she doesn't quite understand life with siblings, and sometimes, I grew up with close siblings, and I remember the disputes and the squabbles that we would get into, and sometimes my wife observes our children and the disputes that they get into, and she asks me, is this normal? Is this what sibling life is about? And I have to say, well, yeah, I remember that is normal. And sometimes we wish we would see more results quicker, and we wonder sometimes if they're ever going to learn. But I think that through my just patient continuance and endurance, I think eventually we grew out of it, so I think there's hope. And there's times when you see them take a stand for what's right, and even if it's something small, and they want to do the right thing. And I think that moment brings joy to a parent, to a mother, to see that they were listening. And they even though it didn't seem like it, they were catching something. And it's an encouragement to carry on, and a reminder for ourselves to walk in truth ourselves. We can't pass on something that we don't have ourselves. Verse 5, he moves on. He talks about the commandment of love. And he says, this isn't anything new. It's not a new commandment. It's what we had from the beginning, that we love one another. He says it very simply, love one another. And he gives a description of what that love is. In verse 6, this is love, that we walk after his commandments. So obedience to God is the description of love. And again, he repeats, it's nothing new, but it's the same thing we've had. We should walk according to this commandment of love. And you know, each character trait has its own actions that go along with it to demonstrate it, whether we're talking about faith or courage or humility. You know, each of those are character traits, but there's actions that go along with that to demonstrate it. And you don't talk about somebody being courageous without the actions to show that. And I think love is the same way. There's the character trait of love, but then there's actions that demonstrate that love. What are the actions that demonstrate love? And I think with mothers, we have a good example of love that is lived out and demonstrated. The sacrifices that mothers make in so many ways. And I know that each mother here has made those sacrifices many times, where something comes up and it has to be taken care of, and mom is the one that steps up and takes care of it, where you have to lay down your own preferences of what you might want to do to take care of something. Whatever it is, a mess that needs to be cleaned, or a meal that needs to be prepared, a hurt that needs to be helped. So many things that a mother does because of love. And I think this is also a glimpse of the kind of love that Jesus demonstrated to us, laying down his own desires and preferences for the sake of us as humans, his children. And sometimes I believe it takes a while for children to realize the sacrifices that their mothers make. And it's easy to just take it for granted that, yeah, mom's going to take care of it. Make a big mess, well, mom will take care of it. And a lot of times that's true. Mom just takes care of things. And just this week, my 2-year-old son dumped a gallon of Meadow Tea in the kitchen and made a huge mess. And let me tell you, there's no good place to dump a gallon of meadow tea. It just, everywhere is a bad place for that. And it got under the fridge and the stove, and yeah, it was a big mess. And you know who cleaned that up? Mom cleaned that up. And I helped pull the fridge and the stove front a little bit to clean up underneath there. But Mom took care of it. And she didn't have that planned, and I know there's many other things that happened like that. And I don't think Evan even realized the mess that he made. I wasn't there when it happened, but he made a big mess. But you know, sometimes with our older children, the messes that they make, and sometimes it's nice to have a little help cleaning up, and sometimes there's frustration that goes along when nobody wants to help clean up. And I wonder if that's not how we treat God sometimes, where God is just the one who fixes everything, and we can just kind of live as we want, do as we please. And it's true, God can clean up a very big mess in life. But are we taking God's love for granted? It's sort of that comparison there between a mother's love and God's love, and taking love for granted. Let's not take God's love for granted, and also our mother's love. Let's not take that for granted. So we have this reminder: love one another. And love is demonstrated by actions. What actions are we doing to demonstrate that love? Are we walking after his commandments and walking in truth? The verse 7, he refers to an issue that was maybe more of a concern in his time. He's referring to those who denied the physicality of Jesus, that Jesus was human. And we maybe see some of that today, but maybe more so the other side, where people deny the deity of Jesus. But regardless, I think we can benefit from the warning against deceivers. There are deceivers. And also the warning in verse 8, where he says, "Look to yourselves that you lose not those things which we have wrought," or the things that we have worked for. Don't lose what we worked for. There's something that can be lost. And what a tragedy it is to work hard for something and then to lose it. So how does that happen, and what is it that can be lost? And I think it goes back to the opening context of the letter, and that is the truth. And walking in truth, that's what we don't want to lose. We want to make sure that gets passed on. And that's what takes the vigilance to not to lose that truth. And for the mothers here this morning, I give this not as a dire warning, but rather as an encouragement to keep pressing on. Raising children takes endurance. It's hard work a lot of times. There's things that you have to deal with that you never thought you would face. We don't always get to choose the things that we face in life. And sometimes we might find ourselves wishing for the next stage, where the trials that we are currently facing are going to be over and we'll be on a different stage in life. And I think each stage in life has its own set of challenges. And rather than wish for the next thing, wish for this difficulty to be over with, let's focus on being faithful right where we're at and enduring. So to the mothers here this morning, I just want to give the encouragement to be faithful in this high calling that God has given you, and that we may, like he says here, receive a full reward. Verse 9, he goes on, talks about some concerns that he has in maintaining the doctrine of Christ. And I think that's connected back to verse 7, this heresy that was creeping in about Jesus. I want to focus on verse 10, where he kind of talks about the idea of being a gatekeeper. If any come to you that bring not this doctrine, I think we could say the truth, bring not the truth, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. There are certain things And in this context, there are certain people that need to be kept out. Thinking of the responsibility of a gatekeeper. What is allowed in and what is not allowed in? There are certain things and certain people that can cause us to lose what we have worked for. So what is it that receives a ready welcome in your house, and what does not? I think both mothers and fathers play a role in this, being the gatekeeper for the house. We live in a day where there are so many things that can bring destruction to a godly home that is focused on truth, things that will detract our children from walking in the truth. Are we being faithful in keeping out those things which are harmful? That takes discernment, godly discernment. We need to be saturated in the truth, anchored in the truth. And then verse 12, he gives his concluding thoughts, and I like how he says that there's so many things to write, and I don't want to write it all down. I'd rather speak to you face to face. And so he's planning a visit, and he speaks to the value of face-to-face interaction. And I think we all know that virtual relationship is not ideal. And face-to-face communication is valuable. And I think as mothers and as parents, we have a lot of face-to-face interaction with our children, and we want to make the most of that time. So 2 John I see as an exhortation to remain in the truth and to be faithful in passing that on, to see our children someday walking in truth, even though we might not see it at the moment. Let's be faithful in that. So to the mothers this morning, I just want to encourage you to be faithful in the journey that you're on, in passing on the truth, whatever stage of motherhood you might be in. And thank you for the testimony of love and dedication that you show. And may God give each one of us strength to walk in truth as he has called us to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the truth that you have given to us. And Lord, help us to walk in that truth. We know there are many things that would take us away from that. Help us to be faithful in passing that on. I pray for your blessing on each mother here. Would you give strength to endure with patient continuance the challenges of life, and help us all to maintain that focus on truth in our homes and in our lives everywhere we go. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Closing song.